right. Good morning again, everybody. I am here to introduce Nick Blodgett and Dylan Davis from Bell's General Store. Both of them are lead clerks, and I'm going to talk a little bit about each of them before we welcome them to the stage. So Nick started brewing when he joined Bell's Brewery. He had already harbored a passion for fermented products, and having dabbled in channeling the primal forces of fermentation, it was only a matter of time until Nick took up the most sacred fermentation, beer. With the aid of his friendly neighborhood store clerks, Nick has even brewed some halfway decent beers. Talk to him, seriously. He loves to go into more obscure aspects of vegetable fermentations, curd formation, and strange brews. Dylan is also a lead, as I mentioned. He graduated from Western Michigan University with a degree in business management, and in 2016, he spent a year in Paderborn, Germany, to complete a minor in international business. During his time in Germany, he became even more obsessed with beer, not just drinking it, but the entire process. He returned inspired to complete the sustainable brewing program at Kalamazoo Valley Community College and pursue a career in the beautiful world of beer. Please join me in welcoming Nick Blodgett and Dylan Davis.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Good to see everybody made it through the kickoff party. Well, those of us who are here.
Right.
So I'm Dylan, and we are going to be talking today about creating and organizing a homebrew event. At Bell's, we started as a homebrew shop, and we continue to put on certain events for our local homebrewers in the homebrew community, and we just want to talk a little bit about kind of what we do and how we think maybe you guys could put on homebrew events to maybe inform more homebrewers or the homebrew community isn't booming as it once was, so these events are, I think, very important for people who are still loyal to homebrewing. So who are we? As Millie just said, I'm Dylan. So I've been homebrewing for around 8 years now. I've worked at Bell's for about three, and I have my degree in business management and sustainable brewing, and I lived in Germany for a year, where I really fell in love with the process of brewing and the passion behind the craft of brewing beer, and so that's what made me want to pursue a career in craft beer, and I wound up at Bell's, and here we are.
And I'm Nick. I got my start in environmental studies and biology, so you know, we've got a lot of great agricultural products in Michigan, and I was basically just looking to see, hey, what can I do? What can I take to do to preserve these things and really enjoy all that our great state has to offer? So it kind of led me down this dark path to brewing. I mean, delicious, dark. It's, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I pinch myself every day. I wake up and go into work. So thanks again for having us here, and hopefully we can inspire you to, I mean, I understand that most people have probably implemented some sort of event at their shop. It's pretty much the best way that we found to get people in and excited to brew. But, hey, hopefully we'll give you some ideas. So we're going to go into a little bit more of the history of Bell's. Why exactly are we still a homebrew shop? I think it's something that we struggle with. Getting that story out there and letting people know that we've had this homebrew shop ever since we opened, and actually prior to us opening our brewery. Where our successes have been in the homebrewing event category. What type of event is right for your shop? I think everyone's shop is a little bit different, and really honing in on your customer base is probably one of the most critical things you can do to find success. How do we get people interested? And I just really like to start a discussion at the end of this and find out where you've had successes in creating events and where you've had failures. I know we've put on a couple of events that have just really you know, they seem like a great idea, they go on, and it's just crickets. So how do we avoid that as a group? So as I mentioned previously, Larry got his start in a Larry opened up a homebrew shop well before, 2 years prior to opening up Bell's Brewery. And this came from his experience in a bakery. So in the late 70s, this is pre-ending of homebrew prohibition, people were coming into the shop and buying all the ingredients they needed to brew. He had coworkers, friends who were coming in and, you know, there was a culture emerging and he was tapping into this. I think there's one story he loves to tell, that there's a knock on his door late one night and he has this moment of panic, this moment of reckoning, like, oh shit. Are they here for me? Are they here for my homebrew? What's going on here? So that was his inspiration, the genesis of really getting in, starting the brewery, and here we are today. So in 1983, Larry finally opens the homebrew shop and then goes on to open the brewery. And it all started with that 15-gallon soup pot. And here are the earliest pictures of the brewery and the store that was located at the front of the brewery. So you could open and, or you could come into the store, grab your cubetainer of amber ale, and pick up some homebrew supplies so you could go home and do it yourself. Every once in a while, somebody comes into our shop and still asks us if we can fill one of these cubetainers, just collapsible plastic bladder, and God, I'm sorry. Can't do that. So it's hugely important for us to stay true to our roots. I mean, just being here, being surrounded by everyone. This week it's inspiration. I have come up with about 3,000 ideas, and I can't wait to get back home and implement at least 10% of them. And I think the homebrew community is really lines up with the craft brewing industry, and so many craft brewers got their start in homebrewing, and just making sure we're keeping that innovation pipeline going, I think, is critical to the success of both industries. And as I mentioned previously, everyone here rocks, and the inspiration is just out of control.
So we're here to give you guys inspiration and talk about how you can better some events that you're doing and maybe take some of the successes we've had. So first we're going to talk a little bit about success in events that we've had at the store. And I know a lot of them might not be applicable to maybe what your guys' shop's doing or, I mean, we have a unique situation where in our homebrew shop we're also selling our beer and other merchandise. So we just want to tell you first kind of name some of the successes we've had, and then after that we'll kind of go into how we think you guys could implement some successes as well. So some of the things we do in the store are classes for all kinds of people of all kinds of experience. We do demos, giveaways, some tours and class combos for homebrew groups. And then we have our kind of holy grail that we do every year, and it's the Homebrew Expo where the work giveaway, and it's a contest. So we'll dive a little bit deeper into those things. So why classes work? So we offer classes for all experience levels. And people, I think, are hesitant sometimes to come into a homebrew shop or come ask questions that, you know, they don't know a whole lot about. So getting people excited about it, starting at a level that they're familiar with, is the best way to go. Definitely starting the conversation with this person before, you know, before they leave the store. You see them wandering around, they're kind of wondering about some things and they're kind of unsure. Strike up a conversation, see if, you know, how much they know, and maybe they're just looking for an opportunity. The classes break down barriers. So, like, if you strike that conversation, those people, they're going to want to keep coming back and talking to you, especially if you're very friendly to them. They know that you're a helpful resource. That's going to break down that barrier of them being kind of cautious of asking a bunch of questions that they think might be stupid. So classes work really well if you have the right space, or you can do demos and just show them the entire process or anything that they haven't done before, or a topic that they don't know a whole lot about. It's really beneficial, especially people who we want to get into home brewing for the first time, younger people, even some of the older people who don't really know a whole lot, and I think they might even be more timid to come in and ask questions. So classes are a really good way to get people interested and get people coming back. So this is a picture of like a food and beer pairing that we do. We do this for a lot for our employees, but the classes as well. So just a bit of a kind of sensory panel there. There's a lot of pictures throughout because we wanted to kind of keep it visual with some of the stuff that we're doing. So I think there's like every other slide there's a picture, but it's fun. So demos and giveaways, like I was mentioning, the demos are great, especially if people don't know exactly what they want to do. The classes are more of the teaching point, but the demos, they can just kind of like watch and see what's going on and, you know, see if, you know, it's something they actually want to get into before they make the investment in your homebrew shop and come back and buy ingredients and equipment. That's your opportunity to really show them, hey, this is what we're all about, and if it's something you're interested in, we're here to support you. Giveaways, everyone likes free stuff. So this is also a chance to for them to use products before committing to them. It's an opportunity for you to maybe get some new products out there and see how it's going to work in your store, whether it's ingredients or equipment or something like that. And then tips and tricks and industry wisdom. So just kind of giving your knowledge to the people that are coming into your homebrew shop and showing them that you are there for them is really important. So here's a picture of our homebrew expo. This is in our back room at our pub, and we kind of have all kinds of things set up. So we're just worked with our Blickman suppliers and have them come in, and they threw up some kettles and are just kind of showing, having like a quick demonstration of some of their products and showing what they have to offer.
And to back up a little bit to the giveaways, it's a great launching point for a new product too, something that you've already decided to bring into your shop. So last year we partnered with Imperial Yeast, and we completely revamped the way that we do yeast in the store. So during this giveaway, we give away 5 gallons of wort, and we'll touch on this a little bit later. But we also gave away a free packet of Imperial Yeast, and we let our homebrewers choose which yeast strain they wanted to use, and kind of got a better distribution of entries because of that.
So on to our tours or something else that we offer. This is a good opportunity to pull people in and really, get them on board with, you know, your culture at your brewery and what you have to offer. We do tours at our production facility, and which is in Comstock, Michigan, and our downtown, which is our original location where our pub and general store are, which is in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So we do tours at both. And so one of the features here that we do for tours is we get homebrew clubs from around the area. They come down. They'll take a full tour. And then after the tour, they'll come at our production facility. They'll come downtown, and then we'll put on a class for them. So we'll work with whoever's coordinating the event through the Homebrew Club, and we'll figure out kind of what they want to learn more about or what their experience level is, and we'll adjust the class from there and kind of cater it to them. And that's something that's worked really well for us. And I think the homebrew groups really appreciate it. They come down, they get to see everything, and they get to grab a beer, and we go and talk about some topics that they're really interested in. And that, I think, really keeps people kind of on their toes and wants to keep coming back and learning more. And maybe we strike up a conversation that they're like, oh, I didn't know you could ferment something like that. So they come back in and buy, you know, the ingredients to, you know, to brew what you have talked about that day. So this is just a shameless plug that we got Second Best Brewery Tour. And I have a couple pictures of our facility here. So this picture on the left, you see it's when you walk in. So that's a what kind of tree is that, Nick? Do you know?
I'm not sure on the type, but it was in Larry's yard, and he had to pull it down, and he
had somebody make this amazing
sculpture
out of the dying tree. So that's really cool. That's right in our gallery as you walk in. We just updated all of our tours, like our tour area, and so this is a kind of a timeline of the entire brewery. And along with that really cool mural there, and it just tells the story of our entire brewery. So you can get people in if you're talking to them before they have their class, then they know they know where the breweries came from, they know what's happened throughout the years, and it's kind of cool to give them some background. Earlier, Nick mentioned a 15-gallon soup kettle. This is the 15-gallon soup kettle. This is the first kettle that Larry started brewing with. So this here, in the below it, that is our general store a long time ago. So it used to be like a service shop, but now it's our general store and our cafe. So this here just, you know, shows where our mindset is when we're, what do we want people to see when they're in our brewery? We want them to see that we were first a homebrew, you know, a homebrew shop, and we are home brewers. And this is the original kettle, and this is the original place where it all started. So we always like to bring that back up because that's kind of where our heads are at a lot of the time, is in the homebrew world. And this is a group that we did a tour with and gave them a class. So they're in our store. That's in our store back home. So as we touched on, the General Store Homebrew Expo and Work Giveaway. So this is the big one for us. This event is something that we have people come and they line up around the block for, and it's a great atmosphere. People are really happy to be there. And specifically why it works well for us is it's not just about giving away free work. It's about coming there, meeting up with your friends. Hey, who are you going to come stand in line 3 hours early? Yeah, I'll be there. And everyone knows when you load up to go any sort of homebrew event, you tuck away a few bottles somewhere, hoping that someone's going to try it, you have an opportunity.
We have a group of people who gets there at 6 a.m. every single year, and I think they keep on creeping a little bit earlier, and I don't think it's because there's any limit of word. It's because they want to sit in line. They want to have the prestige of sitting there, being the first ones every single year, and it's just, it's great to see.
Yeah, and that's an opportunity for, you know, new people who have never come to this event or people who haven't brewed before to maybe come and stand in line and see, you know, a lot of people, the hype around it, and see a lot of people really enjoying just being there, people happy to be standing in a line. So the opportunities there are endless for them, and it's also a really, really good opportunity to maybe if you give away this wort, people are going to maybe brew that beer. There's less to go into it once you give that away. I think I touch on that a little bit here. Let's see. This is one of our glasses from the homebrew competition. And so, yeah, just finding common ground with other people, people you've never met before. You see a lot of people who could, you know, maybe you're not there with a group of friends, but you strike up a conversation with somebody who has a lot in common with you, or maybe you would never otherwise talk to that person, but you find common ground, and that builds a bond in the homebrew community. And that's something maybe this person that's there by themselves doesn't brew a lot or doesn't have an opportunity to brew a lot because they don't have the space. But then you meet somebody else, and they have the space. So now you guys are coming in together. You're buying ingredients together, and it's just really a tight-knit community. So we like to keep it as kind of original and as we can. And people honestly love to wait in line, which is interesting because a lot of people hate waiting in line. But for something like this, you know, even beer releases, people are happy to be there. But this thing has really worked well for us. And here's a picture in our back room of everybody. So this is, I forget which year, was this last?
I think it's 2 years ago.
But yeah. So this is all the people that show up and wait in line and go get their bucket of wort, and then they go into our store. They can buy whatever ingredients they want, and then they can go enjoy a beer and hang out and see what we have to offer. So one big benefit to giving away free wort, other than you know them getting the free wort, is that lower experience levels in there. So you might have somebody, like I mentioned earlier, come in and they haven't had time to brew, or they don't have the space to brew. This is something where you can get this wort, you can pitch yeast right into it, and it's good to go. Maybe you want to just throw some hops in it and dry hop it in a certain combination, and that's kind of all you want to do with it. You don't have to mash, you don't have to lauter, you don't necessarily need a large dedicated brew space to make this fermentation happen, and it's very convenient. So if they can pop down and grab 5 gallons of wort, maybe it's something that strikes their, gets the inspiration going in them, and they want to come back and start brewing more. Maybe the beer turns out great, and they are like, well, that was awesome, I want to go back, and maybe they're going to start brewing again. So it's a large opportunity to get people who, not only the homebrewers that love doing it and always do it, but people who may not be doing it or have kind of set it aside because they don't have time or space. So it's a big opportunity there.
Yeah, we always see existing homebrewers take their friends in on these days, and it's a great opportunity because those friends haven't ever brewed, or they've just sat and watched them through the boil, and they're like, well, when do I dip my toes in? And this is that opportunity for them, and we see these people time and time again afterwards. We've converted them into homebrewers at that point, and that they continue on for years.
There's a couple of our brewers filling up the 5 gallon buckets, so we fill them we push them into a fermenter, and then just from there we fill up the buckets, and you get to walk through our brewery, and that's a whole other experience other than just waiting in line. You get to walk through the original brewery with your bucket and wait, and get it filled up, and then that's when you're waiting in line out front, you're out front of the pub, but you don't get to see, this atmosphere here. Switch things up. People really like the opportunity to learn and try new things. Things can, you can get with this every year. I think we draw people in, and we could probably get in the groove of doing the same thing every year. But that's not interesting, and it's not creative. So we are trying to offer every opportunity we can to learn new things, conducting hop rubs, off flavor sensory, working with our suppliers. That is a huge one, especially any sort of event you guys are looking to set up. Talk to your suppliers. They're usually happy to just come in, especially if they're local or not that far away. They're happy to come in and talk to people and maybe talk about a new product that they're working with or something that you can start selling in your homebrew shop. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you don't have to own a homebrew shop to put together one of these events. It could be a pub, it could be any sort of thing. You don't have to,
Right, if you don't have the space to bring this many people in, partnering with a brewery in your area, I know there may be some legalities in your area as well, but just bringing people in and getting a place to all get together.
Yeah, people, they love to learn, and the brewing industry is a never-ending opportunity to learn because there's always new things popping up. You think that, you know, one style is it right now, and then all of a sudden you have something else pop up, and that's what grabs a hold. So same with the equipment. As you guys have seen, all of the vendors in there with the, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, you look at that and you're like, that would have, I don't know what that is, but that's, I would have never imagined you, you know, 5 years ago, we would have never seen anything like that. And now that's like, that is awesome. So things change. So keep everything mixed up as much as you can. Don't let it get stale. So recognition. For this, there for our particular event, we have them come in and get their 5 gallons of wort. They do whatever they want to it. Last year, the big feature was using the yeast that we gave to them, but they didn't have to. So this here is one of our hop rubs and some malt tasting. Let's see. There you go. I thought I was on that slide. I was not. People want some sort of recognition. So there's like a prize at the end of something, or if there's a contest, what are they getting? So they get the free 5 gallons of wort, as I mentioned, and they get the yeast. They don't have to use the yeast. They can put whatever they want in it, ferment it however they want, and they bring it back to us in a bottle, and they put their style and what they put into it, and they submit it. We try all them beers. Sometimes that's a nightmare, because people like to get overly creative, but
I think the winner from last year in overly creative was the gummy bear.
Yeah, somebody added 1.5 pounds of gummy bears to a saison. It poured thicker than syrup. It was like it. Yeah, Cool Ranch Dorito submission last year.
Oh yeah.
But it's always fun when it's not at your table and you get to look across and watch them try the Cool Ranch Dorito beer. But I got the gummy bear one last year, and that wasn't, it was creative, I'll tell you that. we sit down and judge all these beers, and it's really important for us to give them feedback on these beers. So we take notes and not just, Yeah, so we give them constructive criticism. Telling somebody that it's just not a good beer, even if it has 2 pounds of gummy bears and some Cool Ranch Doritos in it, it's not the way to go. So definitely be helpful. I put here, you know, you didn't place is not like a helpful statement to put on it. Or if they call you and they say, hey, how'd my beer do? And you say, ah, well, it wasn't in the top three. I don't know. I think that kind of lowers the value of you giving that word away and trying to make that connection in the first place. Even if they made a butter popcorn lager on purpose, just let them, you know, be really constructive with it and give them good feedback on how maybe they can do better next time, in a way that's not going to drive them to not make any more beer, but to come back and try it again. So some of the other recognition we give, you could feature somebody's beer as a clone kit. We've recently started doing clone kits of our beers in our general store, and we've also been doing clone kits of recipes that our store clerks create, and we make them like the special of the month. So that's the homebrew kit of the month. This is something you could do with the winner of it if you don't have, you know, you don't want to give away, you know, trips to, you know, GABF, or, you know, you don't have a brewery for them to brew on, or you can't, you know, brew their beer and if you don't have a tap room, this is an opportunity to feature them and give value to them.
Right, like one of your longtime customers coming in and they walk in and right on the shelf as they enter is their name on that kit.
Yeah, their friends, their family, they want to come by it, they want to give it a shot, and it might even inspire some other people of their friends that don't currently brew to start brewing. Easy giveaways. Maybe there's a craft beer event going on in your area. That's not that, you know, it doesn't cost that much to to give a couple, you know, two tickets away if they're the winner of this, adding some sort of recognition and value that they really appreciate and will keep them coming back. And other people seeing them get that recognition will keep them coming back, you know, to try to win those tickets or try to get their beer featured as a clone kit. We know not everybody has the resources and to do this, but what we do for our home, this specific homebrew event, is we, if you win, you get flown to GABF and you get to brew on our original system downtown and you get your beer served on tap. Obviously, this is a stretch, but we think it's highly valuable to give some sort of recognition to this, no matter really what it is. If you don't have the resources to do something like this, that's perfectly fine. But, for example, here is Steve, one of our homebrew winners. But he gets that chalkboard there put up in our pub for his Damson Plum Crisp Saison he made. And also he, what's this? Oh, it was 2017. So that'll be featured in our pub. He got to go to GABF, and he's always submitting beers. He's come back. He's been in our homebrew shop for a long, long time. And he was really, really stoked about all of this. So he has a lot of different friends that come in, and he brings a lot of people in, and he's a big benefit to our store. So, Nick, you want to talk a little bit about creating a homebrew event? So this portion of it, we're going to kind of transition over to what we think you guys could benefit from, and not just how we've had success, but how we believe you guys can have success as well.
And this is definitely just a reiteration of a lot of the things that we've already talked about. So I'm going to go through it a little bit more quickly. So engaging existing homebrewers, keeping them in the hobby is more and more critical. Everyone goes through life changes. You have kids. You have to move in, or your elderly parents have to move in with you. You just have less time. So by creating a community, by connecting our customers and making sure that they can continue to brew, whether it's on their friend system or this work giveaway, if it's literally the only time they brew and later on in their life they finally get more time, they're not going to be completely out of the hobby and pick something else up. And then also engaging new homebrewers. I mentioned a little bit earlier that we get, on average, 10 to 15 new homebrewers from this one event. And these aren't just one and done first-time homebrewers. They are dedicated, loyal. They are coming in probably a couple times every month, right when they get started, and they're going hard. And then removing that uncertainty. People can go to the internet. They can find the information. But if you provide the information, they're going to come to you as a resource, and they're going to be more likely to brew in the first place. So building your brand. What's your specialty? What do you want people to come in and brew? What are people already coming in and brewing and you can kind of grab onto and really be experts in that one category? Don't be complacent. Keep innovating. Keep moving forward. I think keeping an open mind and thinking there's one formula, or keeping an open mind is what we need to do. Thinking there's one formula that's going to keep people coming into your shop is going to lead to stagnation, and we need to move away from that.
And a lot of the time with these homebrew events, It says don't be complacent, but I guess the main learning point there is, like, you're not putting on this event for, you might be putting it on to maybe market your brand a little bit, but it's not about revenue coming in from this event. It's about getting these people more excited to brew, to come back to your shop, to come back to your event, to look forward to these events and you know, get the hype going for you, because that's a really good channel, you know, to have them tell their friends, like, hey, you need to come in for, you know, drive in for the weekend. We have this really cool event that goes on every year. So it's just make it about about the people at the event, and also an opportunity to market yourself, but really give them the biggest value that you can. Because at the end of the day, most of these events aren't, you're not going to make a whole lot of money throwing this event, but it's an opportunity to get people coming back for more.
Yeah, that word of mouth marketing, I mean, really pays dividends for us. We see it even years after the fact. Hey, I was in here with my friend 2 years ago, and we're coming back to you guys.
A lot of the times with our homebrew event, sorry, Nick.
Yeah.
People will randomly be in our shop from out of town, and they're like, what's going on today? And we're like, oh, it's a homebrew event. And they're like, oh, I just came to pick up a six-pack, but they end up buying a bucket and buying some hops or some adjuncts or something to throw into this wort, and they stand in line and they get it, and then they go back home and brew it and send the bottles in to us. So that's a really cool thing as well.
Yeah. So main things to consider to help organize this, what size and type of space are you working with? You've got a very limited floor space, which we do in our store. What can you leverage? What sort of resources do you have in your community that you can leverage to throw this event? How many people do you expect? Almost impossible to predict, but just making sure that you're planning for all contingencies. And homebrewers like beer in their hands. What sort of licensing do you need for the space? Is it already there? Can you piggyback off of the brewery? Can people bring in their own brew?
Yeah, and if you're a bottle shop and you maybe can't, give people beer to drink on premise, maybe you can collaborate with a pub, or maybe collaborate with a space that has the licensing.
Or work as a tasting, or...
Yeah, exactly.
And what sort of giveaways do you want? Work with the suppliers you have a good relationship with and try to bring some in. Usually they're pretty stoked to showcase their items.
This is a big one for me, is work with your suppliers as much as you can. They want to sell their product in your shop. You want to sell their product and move it as much as you can. So people are happy. Like I said, like Nick had mentioned earlier, Imperial came to our homebrew event last year, and they gave away yeast to everybody, whatever type they wanted. They gave them that yeast to brew the beer with. That was during a transition period of us kind of not moving through one brand of yeast and kind of moving on, and that was like the perfect introduction. They came, gave it away. I mean, we're in Michigan. They're in Oregon, and they flew over happily and gave all that yeast away and helped us out with our homebrew event. So that's a big thing, is work with your suppliers as much as they can. They're happy to help you.
And is it a competition, or is this just something that we're getting people together and hoping to collaborate on? What do they win? What can you reasonably give away to your customers if they win this? Is it just recognition? Is it a kit, as we've mentioned before? Use your resources and use them wisely. Do you have a local orchard, maltster, local hop farm? Bring them in. Get them to talk about their areas of expertise. Is there a university in your town? Are there professors you can bring in? Just doing a hopra, sensory, bringing out those big pieces of equipment, as we've mentioned, and really getting people to get their hands on these items and utilize something that they may have not in the past.
Yeah, that's a big one, is getting, these people who have specialized skills who work for you, that are close to you. Maybe there's someone on a sensory panel who is really skilled and they can teach people more about off flavors. Nobody really wants to go drink something spiked with something that tastes like butter popcorn or that's sour, but they'll do it to experience it, to kind of know what they're looking for in their craft beer and in their homebrew. And same with like hop rubs and things like that. I think it was Hops Direct that has just a massive thing of whole cone hops over by their booth, and people are just going crazy, just grabbing handfuls to put in a plastic bag just to get the experience of putting their hands on those hops and smelling them. And of course your hands are disgusting and
dank and cheesy all day. You know, by the end of the day, it's getting cheesy. But, you know, it's all about having that experience.
Right. And stay true to what you know. Don't overreach. Use everything that you can. Be creative. Try new things. Try to capture trends and excitement where it's available. Yeah.
Don't make an event where you pull people in and there's, you know, just looking to, you know, maybe make money off of it. Really stay grounded, stay true to your roots, do it for the community, and they will keep coming back and supporting you as long as you know they know that you're supporting them.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Any questions?
Hi there.
Hi.
The expo thing is interesting to me because we're trying to set ourselves up as like the educational shop in the area.
Mm-hmm.
We do classes on mead making, sours. We do Siebel Institute off flavor tasting.
It's amazing, yeah.
Beginning, full grain, everything. But the expo thing, how do you put something like that together? Do you have like all your equipment out and you have people there demonstrating it, or is the expo just the wart giveaway?
So it's a little bit of both. We have in our, how it begins is people line up in front of our pub. We let them into our back room where you seat all those people. And so they kind of wait there, hang out. We have some suppliers. We have people doing like hop rubs and small time like sensory panels. And then you've seen, I believe John from Blickman was in one of those pictures. So he came over, he demonstrated, or he brought some of their newer products. He was doing some demonstration on how it works. And so we go from there. It's not, the wort giveaway is kind of at the end.
They sign up for their time slot basically when they get there, and then they're allowed to mingle throughout the expo. So it's just a big open room with tables set up around the perimeter. They sign up, they go through, hit all of the booths. I mean, it's nowhere near this scale. This is absolutely amazing. But it's kind of that same energy where we're bringing as much innovation into one room as we can and getting people to engage with that.
Because that seems to be the challenge is you put this event out. Like we tried to do a big brew day and get homebrew
absolutely
in, and we ended up with about 5 systems in our parking lot where we had food to give away, but it's just how do you engage people, like, you know, social media? Do you do emails?
Yeah, both of those are really good sources.
Newsletter.
Newsletter, social media is a big one. If you get people, you know, whoever's coming to this thing, you know, if you're maybe putting, like, a Facebook event out, get everybody else, all those other breweries who are coming to this to, you know, like that and get their friends to, like, you know, it's kind of got to travel by word of mouth, because a lot of times the marketing budget, you know, isn't big, so you have to go with kind of pretty simple, and that's the big one right now is going to be going online for that. But also you can have, you know, if there's people walking around your parking lot, maybe you have somebody at the local brewery who does sensory panels. Maybe they come if Siebel is there or something like that, you know, maybe you have them walk around as people are brewing with little spiked, you know, tasters, or maybe come around and have people walk around to these brew days and talk about what they have to offer, because during the brew day you're kind of stuck right there, so you're not really moving around. So that's a perfect opportunity to put somebody in front of those people, because they want to trap them, but there's really no, you know, they're there to, you know, to brew the beer, and they have an opportunity to listen, and you can put somebody right in front of them.
Sending beer. So, like, I've entered competitions. Luckily, you know, some of the homebrew stores are anchor points, so then somehow they work out how it goes to the next spot. As you were talking, it comes to you. How does that work? It's very nebulous.
It is.
When I try to ask or talk to other people, organizers or not.
Yeah. Truthfully, we've had people just send us beer. Like,
usually
like
they reach out to us.
Yes, yeah, doesn't like shake it.
I mean, hopefully not, yeah.
sending, UPS and FedEx, are allowed to ship beer. It's just, you know, that's not the problem there. It's whether, you know, like you go into the store and you're probably not gonna, you know, tell them that there's beer in there. That's up to you. But we have people. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one right there.
Yeah.
But
always recommend that. Yeah.
It's not like if they open it and you see, you know, you're not like in federal trouble or anything, you know, because they FedEx and UPS actually have the licensing to ship alcohol. If it's whether you have, you know, the license through your company or whatever, you know, that's kind of how that works. But most of the time, you know, we're shipping through a distributor, and if we're doing it for events, it's shipped through our distributor that's in that area. So, but as far as like a single bottle or two bottles, a lot of the times we just have people roll it in some bubble wrap and throw it in a box.
It works like 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not condoning it.
My favorite shipping solution was to wrap your beer in a diaper.
Oh.
Because then it absorbs in the dust break and have the bubble wrap.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty solid.
My name is Matt. I'm from Omaha. I'm a homebrew shop owner. Just a quick tip on like the Ward event. We partnered with a local brewery, and in the past it used to be a giveaway with an expo, but this year we did it as an interactive. So it was called View the Brew.
Oh.
And so what we did is they basically took the process of brewing throughout the stages, and then concurrent to that, I brewed on the smaller scale of that beer, and then we're able to, once they would mash in, we'd transition. I would mash in, and then we would do the, because they can kind of mill around brew house, and so I had the little tiny 10-gallon kettle next to the 20-barrel system. So the great thing is they had hot liquor available, but that was good. And so what we try to do is a lot of interactive work, and throughout the brew day, we would have sessions on yeast management. So the head brewer would get out his microscope, and he had a vat of yeast, and he would go through the yeast health, and then we had a local hop producer doing hop rubs, and then sort of improv, we use those hops to basically do aroma hop addition on the small batch. And so to the point is it's really collaborative and synchronized across, you know, the whole event. So nobody's really sitting around per se. There's always some engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, having a tap room nearby doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. No. Yeah. Yeah.
But just to, you know, some tips there, try to make it interactive.
Yeah.
And do a lot of things concurrently without, you know overwhelming the schedule.
Yeah.
A question, though, I think would be, and you know, with some research, we could probably answer this question ourselves, but do you see any other types of venues? I mean, you're lucky you have a brewery. We did this as a brewery. What other venues seem to have or would have sort of a collaboration effort that would make sense? Where do we hit that market? What other venues might work?
As far as, like, the entire activity or, like, alcohol consumption or?
Just the activity itself.
I mean, truthfully, there's a, you know, in the small town that I'm from, you can use things like, obviously, if you're not, the licensing for the alcohol thing is one thing. So if you want to have beer there to be sampled, that's kind of a whole nother thing. So an event space where that maybe like offers weddings and like a small time, you know, event space that has the licensing for something like that. If not, maybe like a city hall area, or there's like a small park by our city hall in the little town that I'm from, and a lot of events go on back there. So some spaces like that, it's tricky getting all that, you know, being outdoors and doing it. But, yeah, that's kind of not a problem that we've ran into because we've had to think about because of the back room.
And if you're creating work, maybe you would do something like Adopt a Homebrewer Day where you get all of your veterans in your shop to come out and pool their resources to brew a big batch of wort, and then you get all the newbies excited and ready to go. And that way, you're not necessarily using the brew system of the brewery that you're partnering with, or since you can't partner with a brewery, any space that'll take you and is, accommodating.
I just want to talk to Mike.
It's great, right?
Hey, I'm Sebastian with Northern Brewer, and for the past 6 years I was working in all our retail stores, overseeing our retail stores, so just wanted to first thank you guys for some of the event ideas, and then share a little bit of some of the things that we've tried and some of the successes that we've had.
Sure.
So one thing that I would recommend is knowing who your target market is and how you're segmenting your events. So if you're trying to get new brewers into the hobby, what does that look like, and how do you schedule that, and how do you attract those, and how do you reach those demographics? One of the things that we tested and worked out really well is going outside of that brewery or that brewing area, that community, to find where those new markets are. An example is we started partnering with restaurants.
Okay.
And they will put together a food pairing with a beer pairing, and then we go through the brewing process during that time.
Oh, that's fantastic, yeah.
So then you can also get some revenue from that. Just people will pay to go there because now you have a lot more value in there. Mm-hmm. And you're reaching people who may have not even known that home brewing or brewing beer at home is capable.
Okay.
And so that's one thing that was really, really successful. And then I think the big part that you guys said was partnering with your vendors and homebrew clubs and trying to get things in.
Absolutely.
And then the other part is for tasting is, depending on where your state is, getting homebrewers to bring samples in and share with each other to build that community. So we do once a month where we just call it a brew share. So bring in your beer, bring in your samples. And as homebrewers, I always like to tell people I have a brewing problem, not a drinking problem.
Right.
And so your ability to share some of the beer, to also offload some of the beer that you have, but then get feedback from the other community is super, super helpful. So
absolutely.
But thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.